And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio, off the golf course, George Cullum. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So we're a few weeks after your initial description of the course and what it's like, and it feels like we're well into what might pass for summer here. What's the situation at the course?
Well, it was a slow start to the summer. It was really quite cold in April. It took quite a bit longer to get the snow off the golf course this year. We started probably 5 days after our average start. The course did come out of winter really well. It was really healthy. So overall, I'd say the course is really good for this time of year. And I know it's already June, but early June is still early for golf in Alaska. Most of the courses are still in pretty rough shape. You know, they're still kind of trying to get the grass to germinate the new seed on the greens. But Palmer Golf Course is in great shape. We've been on all greens for a month.
Oh, wow.
And, the greens roll nice. They're smooth and fast. We've actually lowered the mower height on the greens mower and sped up the greens considerably. And we hosted a U.S. Open qualifier in mid-May.
Right.
And that went really well. And we got really good reviews from the players on the course. So business has been a lot better since the sun's come out and it's warmed up. So it's very encouraging.
Well, I'm interested in your reference to lowering the mower height. So you do this through the year?
We do. We work our way down to where we'll end up with the mower height to get the pretty much the speed that we want and the level grass to ground so that we get the smoothest roll. So right now, technically, we're at 0.17. So 0.25 would be a quarter inch. So we're, you know, considerably less than a quarter inch. We get down to usually around at our lowest around 0.12, which, you know, is pretty low and pretty fast greens, but not quite as fast and low as they have in the lower 48. And we have to protect the grass up here a little bit more because of the cold weather. So we don't quite go as low with the mower height.
Well, I'm just going to take that as a jump-off place because we've been having discussion about lawn mowing. Just a brief aside here, since you have so much grass, so much lawn to cut, and I know you do it differently depending whether you're on the greens or the other fairways, but we have discovered that cutting it shorter on a more regular basis seems to work better for the grass we have.
Well, it depends on the type of grass that you're growing. But, you know, when you keep mowing grass shorter, it tends to, you kind of train the grass to do what you want it to do. Like with the bent grass that we grow in the greens, if we let it grow really long, it doesn't lay down and creep off to the sides because it's a creeping bent grass.
Okay.
So we want it to be kind of mowed low so that, like weeds, like if you've ever seen a dandelion, when it gets mowed, it starts to lay flat and starts to spread out. And that's what grass will do also. And we have different mowers for different jobs at the golf course. We have rough mowers that mow the longer grass, and then we have T-box mowers that mow a certain height for T-boxes, which typically for us is about a quarter inch. And then we have fringe mowers that mow around the edges of the greens.
Are all of these mowers rotary mowers?
No, the rough mowers are rotary mowers.
Okay.
The fairway mowers and fringe mowers are real mowers. And the greens mowers are also real mowers. And then we, when the greens are fully healthy, we go to our walk-behind mowers, which are, they're self-propelled, but you do walk behind them.
So I've had a discussion with some people about real mowers and whether they're more difficult to keep sharp or how does that maintenance work?
I would say that it's easier to sharpen a rotary deck because you just have blades that
right.
You don't have a bed knife.
Right.
With a real mower, you have a bed knife and then you have the actual blades and those two things work together like scissors.
Right.
So your bed knife to reel has to be correct, and your bed knife has to be sharp, and your reel has to be sharp. So there's a lot more to sharpening a reel mower than a rotary deck mower that has blades like your lawnmower at home.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the start to the year, and I know there are many holes in the golf course. Are there some parts of the course that are better than others at the present time?
Well, there is. We have some winter kill in some fairway spots, but mm-hmm. overall, I'd say the course is really healthy, but there's always some weak spots on it. When you have an 18-hole golf course that has 140-plus acres of land, that you're not going to always have everything perfect, especially coming out of the winters that we have. But as far as the playable areas, it's really good. When you have an area that you're repairing, where maybe we're doing a fairway repair to an area, you circle that with white paint, like a field paint,
right?
And that's ground under repair. So if somebody was to hit into that area, they would get relief, a free drop from that area.
Okay. I'm curious, as I'm thinking and imaging the golf course itself, whether you have visits from any waterfowl, ducks, geese, et cetera. Do they come and land on any parts of the golf course and spend any time there?
They do. Early in the spring, sometimes we get some geese that come in as they're migrating up. They stop at the golf course. If there's water for them to land in, they typically won't come in if there's no water. And sometimes we do have standing water out on some of the fairways in the spring. We do have a farm next to us, the Vanderweel Farm, that also sometimes has quite a bit of water, so they'll land in that area. But typically, we don't get a lot of waterfowl or a lot of birds there, just because it's next to the airport.
Oh, okay.
And also, there is not a whole lot of water on that golf course. When we have our ponds full on 16 and 17, ducks will fly in there. But I don't think the airport would be probably a fan of having a lot of waterfowl or birds around it,
Right. So. Oh, definitely. So completing discussion about animal life and so on, I know there have been in the past, I've seen fox on the course. Do you get any moose that wander through?
We actually just had a moose about a week ago get out onto the golf course, and it was approaching our 17th green, and one of our maintenance guys was cutting a cup and had his back to it and was walking right up behind him. And one of the other guys was yelling at him that, there's a moose right behind you. And he turned around and it startled him. And but the moose kind of ran over towards the airport fence and left the golf course pretty quickly because there was quite a few people. So we don't get a lot of big game on the golf course, I would say. We've had a bear out there only one time that I've known, and that was a couple years ago.
Okay.
So it's pretty rare because of the layout of the golf course and where it's at.
Okay. Okay, I understand that. To finish up, it's kind of the overview. I haven't gone through this in a while. I know I have played there. I'm not a every week player, but I have played on the course, and I know that some holes are – what I would term, at least for me, easier than others. What's of all of the 18 holes, which is the easiest?
I would probably say most people think number 6 is the easiest hole. It's a short par 4 right along the river, and the green is actually reachable for longer hitters from the tee box. So, for the average player that may only hit it 180 to 200 off the tee, mm-hmm. it leaves a short iron shot into the green.
Okay.
There is out of bounds. The river runs down to the right, and there is it's got some bunkers around the green, so it can cause people fits, but it's also, I would say, the most scoreable hole.
Okay. What about the opposite then, the most difficult?
Well, our number one rated hole on the golf course, which is supposed to be the most difficult, is hole number 7, but I would say that in reality, hole number 17 is by far the hardest hole on the golf course. It's the number 2 rated of the most difficult holes on the course, and it's a 460-yard par 4 with you got to hit between lakes, and it's a narrow area, and you got to carry it over another lake to get to the green, and it's a tough hole. A lot of people struggle with that hole, mostly because of how long it is.
Oh, okay.
And it's a long par 4.
Who gets to rate these holes?
We have USGA people from the United States Golf Association that come out, and they rate the course every few years. But the ratings by hole usually won't change unless there's been significant changes to the design of the hole. So they pretty much stay the same every year.
Well, let's roll back historically. When was the golf course laid out?
Well, I know that in 1988, I believe they started construction of the golf course. And then in 1990, the course was pretty much completed and opened. You know, and there it was in the early stages. It was pretty rough. You know, I came out and visited it back then when I was working in Anchorage at Eagle Glen and Moose Run. And but like all golf courses, you know, if you don't have a huge budget to build a golf course, it kind of evolves, you know.
Okay.
So it starts out a little bit rough, and maybe you're missing some irrigation to the golf course, and the greens aren't quite designed the way that you know you would hoped, and you make changes, and bunkers get changed. They're maybe not in the right place. So it takes time for all that to evolve as players play it. And,
right.
And then, you know, whoever's managing the golf course or the superintendent, you start noticing trends that you want to change on the golf course. So the course has evolved over, you know, the years.
Have there been any major changes in the original layout?
I wouldn't say there's any major changes. I think the biggest changes that we do are we change some of the bunkers. We've taken some bunkers out because they were in bad spots, where areas where they get too much water from the sprinklers and fill with water. And then they're just kind of silly bunkers that are kind of out of play, okay. But you have to maintain them. And then we've put some bunkers in where they should be, you know, where it keeps a ball from rolling in towards the airport fence off of a hill, and maybe protects that ball from getting into an area that, you know, it's kind of unfair that it rolled down that hill into that area. So, but it has, I wouldn't say it's been any real major changes, not any whole redesigns or anything.
Okay. Now my memory of the way it's laid out, since there are, you have basically three neighbors, the airport, the river, and way off in the distance, the farm. How good are those neighbors?
Oh, they're great. We've had great relationships with, you know, with Brad Lewis and the Vanderweel farm right next to the 16th hole. You know, there's times where we've had to get water from their pump,
sure,
from their well, and because ours was still froze up, and they've always been very generous about letting us come over and get some water for the water truck in case we're having a, you know, emergency to get water. Sometimes they get access to their fields from our maintenance road because they can't get in because it's too wet and sloppy. And so we've always had a great relationship with them. So, yeah, I think it's been pretty nice.
Very good. Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with George Collum. We've been talking about the golf course in Palmer City. And we drifted a little bit into the history and the way the whole place is laid out. I know you have events through the summer. You've mentioned one big one that occurred in May. What kind of things can we look forward to starting today, June 8th?
Well, this Saturday we have the Palmer Elk Scramble.
Okay.
And I believe they're still taking teams for that. And it's a four-person scramble, and you can get a hold of somebody at the Palmer Elks Lodge and, you know, try to get your team signed up. They're doing a pairings party tonight at the Palmer Elks Lodge. So I'll be over there helping with their rules and things like that. And then Sunday, the Valley Golf Association, they're having a two-person scramble. And you can call to the golf course at 745-4653 to get more information on that. And that is a tournament that raises money for their college scholarship funds that they give away. Another big one that we're having is on June 16th, we have our Midnight Sun, and it starts at 5 o'clock at night. It's a blast because, you know, you get to go out and play golf at night, and we get off the golf course around 9:30, 10 o'clock, have a light meal, and then, you know, go home at, late at night. But that's kind of what it's about in Alaska,
sure,
you know,
right.
Getting to play golf in the Midnight Sun type, you know, scenario. So we also, I mean, backing up a little bit, we did host the Alaska Golf Association Spring Jackpot on June 2nd. So there were 108 players in that event. So that was a great event for us. And then we have the Alaska State Senior this year in the second weekend of July. So that we haven't had that in a few years. And then there's a variety of other tournaments. The biggest, probably our one of our biggest tournaments is coming up the end of July. It's our the Palmer Invitational Pro-Am. So it's the only thing really like it in the state now. It's kind of the one big event that survived all these years, you know. It's gotten tougher to get sponsors for tournaments. And so a lot of these professional Pro-Am tournaments have kind of gone away. So this one's the one that's kind of stood the test of time. And we get golf professionals that come from other states and other countries to play in it. Typically, we have about 20 to 22 teams of four.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a good, really nice event. And then when we get into August, we have our club championship in the third weekend in August. And that's, you know, I mean, we get lots of players from around the state, but typically it's more for the members. But we take anybody that wants to play that has an established handicap.
For those listeners who may not be familiar with the way in which the Palmer Golf Course works, you've used the term members. What does that mean?
We sell season passes. So we consider, you know, those people as members because they typically are there every year. Some of these guys have and ladies have played the golf course since it opened, and we're part of getting the golf course built in Palmer. And so it's been such a great asset for the community here to have this. I mean, we have so many actual senior players out there. I mean, it's just a great place for them to, you know, spend some of their time and, you know, and socialize and you know, play golf and be competitive. We got a really healthy men's club that plays on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So in terms of the way the golf course is run, you manage it. I'm thinking of the airport, has an airport advisory group. Is there a golf advisory group of any sort formally?
No. I'm a private contractor, so I have my own golf company, and so I manage the golf course for the city. There's been some talk in the past of doing some kind of advisory committee, but I just, you know, so far it really hasn't been a need, I don't think.
Okay.
So, but, you know, I'd be open to it if the city wanted to do something like that.
Okay. Sounds as if you're open. You have a lot of communication. You see a lot of players, and there's a fairly open observation of what's happening and talking about it. So you probably are picking it up without that formal construct.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And golfers are not afraid to share their opinions.
Right. I think maybe, yeah. Okay. You got that. Well, I noticed that the superintendent of the airport has been working, meaning he's been getting dirty because there's a new campground going in associated with the airport. And I'm wondering if that has anything, will that spill over in the fly-in golf system that has been talked about for so long?
I believe so. I mean, any time that you bring people near a golf course, you know, maybe they're camping or they're coming from the lower 48 and they want a place to stay, and quite often they're golfers and they see the golf course, and, you know, and hopefully we can do some kind of cross marketing with the campground and get some of their people over, you know, make some kind of deals so that they can come play golf. Cause quite often those people aren't going to bring golf clubs with them. So, and golf is pretty expensive, especially when you start renting clubs. So we try to work something out where we make it affordable for them.
Okay. Okay. Well, I always like to finish up when we're toward the end of our discussion having you explain for listeners who are saying, golf, how does a beginner who has very little experience or no experience with golf get started? Say they've got some more time because they're retiring or whatever.
Well, a lot of times people will just come down to the golf course and they'll rent some range balls, you know, and we have loaner golf clubs if they don't have their own clubs yet, and they can go out on the driving range and try hitting golf balls. I would highly recommend not going on the golf course until you've hit golf balls and you're fairly proficient, at getting the ball airborne, and you know some of the basic rules and etiquette of golf.
Okay.
Because it can be a pretty nerve-wracking event if you're out there and you don't know anything about it. You've got speed of play issues. You know, golfers that play a lot of golf play faster than beginners. And it can make it really uncomfortable for a beginner to be on, especially an 18-hole course. So my recommendation is always to go get a golf lesson, right? Go seek out one of our local golf professionals. We have two on staff,
right?
Joe Butler and Rob Nelson. And you can call down to the golf shop and set up a lesson, and they'll get you started. You might get into like a series of lessons, and that'll really speed up the process for you to get comfortable playing golf. Quite often people hit lots of range balls, start playing, you know, maybe they'll go out and play six holes, whatever they're comfortable with, nine holes. And what people don't understand is they watch golf on TV and it looks really easy and it doesn't look like that physical. But if you try to go out and play 18 holes for the first time, you'll be exhausted by the end of it. You'll think you ran a marathon. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tiring.
That's whether you're walking or using a golf cart.
Yeah, pretty much, because, you know, the beginners swing a lot more than, you know, the average golfer. And all those golf swings are kind of tough on your muscles that you don't use in that way. There's a lot of twisting and a lot of work on your lower back. So it's funny because you have to get in golf shape to play golf well. And it kind of sounds silly that because it does look like it's so, you know, serene and easy, but it really isn't. I grew up playing other sports, and I can tell you that golf is still it's a sport.
Okay.
It demands some, you know, physical ability.
Well, I've been saving the best for last because I know that golf, like it, you mentioned, people watch golf. And I think that at different times there have been inspiring players who bring people to local golf courses. There's been a resurgence of play by one Tiger Woods.
Yes.
How big a shadow is he throwing to cause people to reconsider golf?
Oh, he definitely has an effect on the industry. When he plays, everyone pays attention. You know, people that don't normally watch golf or follow golf start to watch and follow golf again. And then those people who don't normally play golf start to think about it. And then some of those people do actually come down to the golf courses and try it. So he does have a big effect on the golf industry. And, you know, when in the 90s, when he was the number one player and he was really winning a lot, it was great for golf. And now that he's coming back, you know, even though he hasn't won yet, he's been competitive and it definitely has helped. I mean, there's some great players, you know, out there, but nobody moves the needle like Tiger Woods when it comes to golf.
Okay. Well, George, we've covered a lot of ground, and we have a moment left or two. Any last comments for listeners?
Well, the golf course is in great shape. The entire golf course is open for play. We've got two practice greens and a beautiful driving range with natural turf, no artificial turf. So it's a great practice facility. I think it's the best in the state, and I think our course is the best in the state. You know, it's in, like I said, it's in great shape. It's a friendly, fun place to play golf. It's a municipal golf course. Our rates are the lowest in the area, you know, so we have lots of options to even make it less expensive. You can buy family passes. You can buy season passes for individuals, punch cards. Every day after 4 o'clock, we do twilight, so it's half price green fees.
Oh.
And cart rentals go down from $16 to $12 per person. So, you know, if you want to try golf, call out, try to get set up with a lesson and, you know, get started, because it's such a great game. You can play it your whole life. It's not like other sports where, you know, when you hit your 30s or 40s, you're pretty much done playing it, you know, at least competitively. So, you know, and it's a great way to meet people and get out and enjoy the, you know, wonderful summers that we get.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you, George, for coming in again, and we'll look forward to having you return as we move further down the season for an update on what's happening at the Palmer.
Thank you.
Of course.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.